There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. Hopefully you have enjoyed the beautiful weather we've had in the Indianapolis and Bloomington areas over the past week or so. We're here wrapping up the spring game. Some other news and notes we need to get to as well. We'll be joined by co-host TJ Inman. TJ, how are you?
I am doing very well, Sammy. Thank you. Very excited to be on talking football.
Yeah, anytime we could talk football, it's okay in my book. TJ, I want to start off with one note. It came out yesterday. Jacob Robinson was cited for a drinking issue at Little Five. It's not a big deal. He is doing road crew, and that'll be taken care of internally, probably by the football team. But I just wanted to mention it. I know, we didn't think it was a big deal or much news on that. But, TJ, what did you think about IU's spring game last Friday?
Number one, from everyone that was able to attend, it sounded like it was a well-structured event and a well-put-on event. By IU football and by the athletic department, it is an event. I think that's something that needs to be stressed. It is not meant to be taken as a serious scrimmage or even a serious exhibition. It is an event designed for fans, and I thought that. They did a nice job of putting that together. Attendance, I think, was, generally pretty positive. It's certainly not, the level that we saw at some other spring games where, you had over 100,000 people showing up, which is just utterly insane and kind of shows the kind of different game that those select few schools are playing than the rest of the country. But I think from a purely on-field standpoint, getting past the logistical stuff of it, I do think that there were some positives and some things that, are still going to be concerning. I think one of the positives for me was the activity level of the defense. Tackling was not something that was kind of a priority in this game. You don't want to get players hurt, so you're not going to go all out on some hits. You're not looking to crush any receivers as they come over the middle of the field. You're not looking to, to lay out the quarterback and hit him as hard as you possibly could when you get to him. But there was some hitting that was done. But I think what impressed me the most about the defense was just the energy level and the activity level that they had. It seemed like a step above what we saw last season or what we've seen really at any point here in the recent past. I think that some individual players did stand out for me on defense, and we'll talk about that. But the overall energy level, I think, is what impressed me the most with the defense. Offensively, I think the play of the receivers was impressive, as I think it's expected. I think that this group is perhaps the best in the Big Ten. There's a couple others that you could argue up there with them, but I think it's indisputable that they are one of the top two or three wide receiver units in the Big Ten.
According to some people, they're not.
Well, so. Yeah, there are those that – for those that don't know, ESPN – had a blog that was just not even close to accurate, in my opinion, that did not include the Indiana wide receiver corps among the best in the Big Ten. So, yeah.
It had them as a distant fourth. And then they came out and said that Xander Diamant is the favorite to take over the quarterback job from Nate Sudfeld, which is something I want to get into as well, TJ. But my thoughts on the spring game as an event, I thought it was well done. I think they want to try and do it on Little Five weekend, and there are obviously some obstacles you have to get over. They lucked out with the weather, and it seems every year it's flip-flopping with the weather. It could be nice one year, awful the next year. But I think the later you have it in April, the better chance you have it, better weather. But we all know the saying, if you don't like the weather in Indiana, just wait 15 minutes and it'll change. You know, some people were concerned they didn't come down because of the traffic. Even if they had it on Saturday or even Sunday, I mean, I went down, traffic with the construction on 37 is brutal if there's any kind of event in Bloomington. Now, they had baseball down there this weekend as well. Of course, the races for Little 500. So traffic, I don't think there was a way around it. I mean, if you expect a big crowd for a spring football game, you're going to have traffic coming down from Indy anyway. You know, so it's just you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. Traffic is something that until that I-69 is finished, you're just going to have to deal with. And I have to deal with it every time I go down to Bloomington. And it's not fun, but it'll be nice when it's finished. The spring game, to me, I thought it was a great event. They had a youth football clinic beforehand. Kids looked like they had a lot of fun. I talked to some people, during the game about it. They loved it. I thought it had a little bit for everybody. It had, you know, scrimmage, about 70, 80 plays for those, you know, diehard fans who want to see a practice and want to see what the team looks like. They had some gimmicky things to involve students in running deep passes. They did a punt rush with students, you know, field goal contest, stuff like that. That gives the not so serious fan who likes to see see them have fun. And it's great to see Coach Wilson, you know, emceeing the event, and you see a different side of him that most people don't get to see, and that's good, and I think that helps build relationships. But let's get down to the quarterback battle, TJ. I thought that coming out of the game, Richard Lego was the guy. He's, you know, from when Nick and I saw him on practice number two to where he was on practice 15, it was night and day in terms of how comfortable he was in the offense. He has all the physical tools. He's a big guy. I think he's 6'6", 6'5", somewhere around there. He has a strong arm. That first throw to Simi Cobbs, 46 yards, that was beautiful. He likes to stretch the field. I think he gives you more dimensions than Danny Cameron, who also had a great spring. Is very improved, but I think even though it's unofficial, I think you're going to see Legault go with the first team. Danny Cameron will be the backup in case of injury, and I know we've all had discussions at the site as, you know, do they play two quarterbacks? Do they, you know, bring a wildcat in? And, you know, we saw Donovan Hale run a little bit. Coach Wilson mentioned Xander Diamant. He brought his name back out of the obscurity there at the end of his press conference that spring. So, you know, as much as, you know, Xander has been a help to this team in terms of stepping in 2014, the plays he made against Ohio State last year and some against Penn State, I think missing spring for him and not being able to put on the weight he needed the last couple years has hurt him. So we'll see. They might use him in special packages. But what's your take on the quarterback race?
I was extremely encouraged by the progression of Lego. I it's very apparent just from, and we do not get to see every snap that these guys take during practice. We don't get to see their work in the film room. We don't get to see kind of how they interact with their teammates in the locker room or just in, you know, daily situations where they're just hanging out, which are important factors for a quarterback. You know, the leadership of the team overall, that's an important factor. But just in terms of their physical play on the field, the difference between Richard Leggo and the rest of the quarterbacks was stark. It's apparent to me that the physical tools of Richard Leggo would make him QB1 for the season opener. And I would think that barring, you know, setbacks during the fall or summer, that's going to be what ends up being the case. As he, like you said, the progression from the beginning of practice in the spring to now, which, you know, you would expect. I mean, he's a guy that is getting familiar with the offensive system, which is not an incredibly simple one to grasp. It's certainly not the most complex offensive system, but it's not, you know, it's not as simple as some others, and it's the first time that he's running that offense. You'd expect that progression, and we saw it. So I think that that's encouraging if you project out, which is what we have to do at this point. You know, we're not going to see him again until fall camp opens up. So as we project out, if that progression continues, then I think we should all be pretty excited about the quarterback play we could have. Again, I'm not suggesting that he can replace Nate Sudfeld as a, you know, career player at Indiana. But I do think it is realistic to say that Richard Leggo is capable of having the same kind of season that Nate Sudfeld had last year. If you look at the weapons that are going to be surrounding him on offense, you look at the offensive line being strong again, and you look at the coaching staff that's still in place, everything is there for Richard Leggo to have a very similar season to what Nate Sudfeld had in 2015, in my opinion.
Yeah, and he's not going to put up the career numbers just because he doesn't have as many years as Nate Sudfeld, but you're right. Well, we won't get to see anything until probably the beginning of August. I think media days are July 25th or 26th, and they usually start camp about a week after that. So, you know, we'll see. Hopefully we get to see, you know, how much he's grown over the summer. And this is where these player workouts come become very important. As you said, the offense is not super complex, but it is predicated on timing. And it is, you know, there are a lot of moving parts. And coming in from a junior college or a system outside of Indiana and only having, I think he had two or three bowl practices as well, but only having about 15 to 17 practices to get used to this offense. This is the summer workouts with his wide receivers, getting on the same page, knowing the playbook is going to help tremendously. And I'd be shocked if he's not the quarterback when they open up on September 1st. If he's not the quarterback, something's wrong. Something disastrous happened. And we'll see. Or, you know, Danny Cameron, you know, a miracle happened and he became better than what they have. So transitioning to defense, TJ, you said you like the energy. It's been there all spring, and that's what impressed me the most about Tom Allen and his staff. There was no real lulls in the energy in practice. There was, I think, one practice that we saw where, you know, it was coming off a spring break, and the energy really, it wasn't down, but it wasn't as high as we had seen. But then we came back for another practice, and you know, you see in the spring game, and the energy's there. They forced, I believe, three takeaways. You saw, I think it was Dawson Fletcher had a pick. Joe Belden, the freshman, pick up a fumble on a bad snap, fumble snap exchange with Danny Cameron at quarterback. and you saw Marcus Oliver do what Marcus Oliver does best, and that's rip the ball out of a runner's hands. And one of the quotes that Wilson said after the game that impressed me most, and I think should encourage fans, is he said Tom Allen's not happy. He wanted 5 takeaways, and we only got 3, so he wanted 2 more. And to me, that's awesome. That means there are expectations for this defense, and that's something that when they let go of Knorr and when they were talking about staff changes, you know, it was an attitude and expectations issue on the side of the defense. Now you have Tom Allen and Mark Hagan, the rest of the defense staff, they're expecting turnover. They're expecting them to play well, which is something that, you know, Indiana fans have not expected this defense to play well in many, many years. So it's good to have the coaches say, hey, these are our expectations regardless. You know, we want 5 takeaways. We want this. We're not setting the bar low. So that's what stood out to me in terms of energy. It was good to see the second unit defensive line get some pressure. They recorded a few sacks, but they're going to have to use some stunts and some twists up front on the line to get pressure. They don't have that one guy who's going to go out and be, you know, basically instant quarterback pressure. So what other takeaways do you have from the defense, CJ?
Yeah, I think the quarterback pressure is one that is going to be an ongoing concern. The spring game didn't, you know, show us, oh, that's an area of concern we didn't expect. I mean, that was something that we knew going into it, and nothing that could have occurred during the spring game was going to change that being an issue moving forward. Go ahead.
Yeah, and TJ, to go on to your point, pass rush is one of the hardest things in a spring game to judge,
right?
Because, like you said before, you don't want to light up the quarterback and stuff like that. So go ahead.
Yeah, I do think that there are some intriguing options to generate more pass rush. I think it is possible to generate more pass rush in the interior of the defensive line than we've seen in the past. I think that, like you said, using stunts up front is something that could have that happen. I think Nate Hoff is a guy that we've heard from the coaches. They've said in their pressers and interviews, and then his spring game play backs it up, that he looks more like the player we saw in 2014 than the player we saw in 2015, which would be a big boost for the Indiana defensive front. And I think that would also help Ralph Green have a good season as well. Those two up the middle could generate some pass rush. Jacob Robinson, I think, and Joe Belden are both players that could. I think that Alan Stallings, when he arrives on campus, is a guy that they're going to expect to do some of that. Maybe even Brandon Wilson is another guy. But I do think that is going to be an area of ongoing concern. One thing that I was impressed with, I don't know if impressed is the right word, but I just feel pretty comfortable with the secondary as a whole. Like how the secondary is responding to this new system. I think that they are going to I get the feeling that they're going to make more plays than they did in 2015. I still have a feeling that Indiana's going to give up more big plays than you'd like. And I think that that's something that is going to take some time overall to correct. But I do think that there are going to be more plays made, whether that's passes broken up, deflections that are turned into interceptions as opposed to incomplete passes. I think that there's going to be more big plays created by the secondary than we've seen in the past, and that's thanks to guys, you know, the continued development of Crawford. I think that Ben Mock is in a good spot. I think Tyler Green developing is going to be a big part of that. And the pairing of Green and Fant, if Green can continue to progress before we get to the season, I think that that pairing at cornerback could be, you know, a very solid pairing for Indiana. And then I just think there's a lot of depth in that secondary group, and we saw it. We saw a new number of guys, Will Dawkins being one of them, that have, it seems like they've gotten better, or they're just more comfortable in the system. It's probably both, really. So I think that the play of the secondary overall, and then the linebacking, you know, Marcus Oliver, Tigre Scales, TJ Simmons, I mean, that's a trio that will rotate along with some other guys, but those three are the definites that you just feel really, really safe having them as the linebackers.
Yeah, and to go back to your view on the secondary, TJ, I was sitting with some fans who, you know, I've become friendly with through the site, and they point their first comments to me was, does this defense just look better in terms of body type and athleticism? And
yeah,
you know, they pointed
more
out
length,
Tyler,
right?
Green is one.
I mean,
yeah,
more length, I think, is a big one.
Yeah, and they pointed out Tyler Green as, like, who's that guy? Tyler Green played a lot of football last year. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, for people to not to notice, there's been a lot of change. And he's, you know, and, you know, hopefully these guys stay healthy. And that was, I think, one of the bugaboos on defense last year is that, in game two, they started, like, four freshmen in the secondary. But now
yeah.
you have these freshmen are now sophomores. Their bodies are bigger. You know, you bring in a JUCO guy like Jamie Thompson to play. You have, you know, depth in Chase Dutra when he comes back. Wesley Green had, a near interception that could have been a pick six. That was a tough play. I think the ball was a little underthrown, but, you know, he's shown he can make, you know, a break on the ball. Tyler Green looks good. And what stood out to me on defense was, I didn't really see any really bad missed tackles.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't, you know, of course there were some plays where the running back jukes and, you know, somebody misses a tackle and that happens, but there wasn't, you know, one where it's like an Ezekiel Elliott run where he ran up the middle and guys are just diving all over the place. But, you know, that to me was, you know, was encouraging. And that's something we saw in practice was every time we were there and every day, according to Allen, was we will do something every day to improve our tackling, to become the best tackling team in America. And I think just the attitude with this coaching staff has changed that. And you saw it in the spring game. Now, I know, you know, it's tough to judge a little bit, and you won't get a good judge on it until game one. But to me, there weren't, you know, plays where you go, uh-oh, we can't tackle. And that was to me was something that, you know, I left the game ago. The tackling was pretty good,
mm-hmm.
and that's how I felt.
Yeah, one thing I do want to bring up on the offensive side of the ball, beyond just the quarterback play and the wide receivers, is the running game. You know, Kimeon Patrick did have knee surgery. We have a timeline for him that is going to put him back in action, you know, if things go according to plan, and with recovery from knee surgery, you can never be sure at all, but he would be, they're hoping, back in action sometime around the beginning to middle of September. So that was encouraging news.
Yeah, they said
I know that it could have been.
Months.
Right.
Yeah, he said 5 to 6 months. If I was taking a guess, it would probably be the end of September, maybe early October, just right around
yeah.
when Big Ten season starts.
Right. Yeah, I think you're shooting for that Big Ten opener would be. I'm sure that Kameon is, you know, in his head is shooting for the season opener, and that'd be awesome if that occurred. You know, some guys do heal quicker than others. You can never really know until. So you're getting in there, and I'm sure that the IU coaches and training staff is not going to rush him back before he's ready. But so we can expect to have Kameon Patrick in the backfield at some point. I think that that is a difference maker for the Indiana offense. But in his absence, we have to talk about what the running back situation is going to be like. And I think that you feel good about Divine Redding. The spring game, you know, he didn't see a ton of action. He doesn't need to. You know what you have there. Just very solid, and I think even better than he's given credit for. When people are talking about the better backs in the Big Ten, he'll not going to be brought up by anybody outside of people that watch Indiana and appreciate what he can do. I think beyond that, you like what you saw from Mike Majet. I think it's, you know, very clear that Mike Majet is the player that we saw for those, you know, when he first burst onto the scene, and he's not the guy that was injured and a non-factor in the final part of the season. I think you also like what you have in Devontae Williams. I think that was a very good move for him and for the Indiana football team to switch him from the secondary, where I think he could have been a good contributor, but I think he's going to be more valuable to this team as a running back with the ball in his hands, running back slash kind of slot guy with the ball in his hands. So you like what you saw from those two as change of pace backs. I think that they could both be I think that once Kamion, and we'll be optimistic and say once Kamion is healthy and ready to go, you've got to feel really good about the core of running backs, and that doesn't even include what, you know, what's going to get there on campus as a true freshman, you know, the trio of guys that could contribute there as freshmen and Innis, Nate, and Cole Guest. But, you know, Ricky Brookins and Alex Rodriguez, also guys. Rodriguez, kind of the power back look we saw from him, and then Ricky Brookins played a little bit of slot, a little bit of running back. They moved him around some, and I think they're still looking for, you know, how to deploy him. But I think that everybody that got the ball in the spring game showed that they're capable of contributing come the fall, and that's a position that you feel really good about. I think the only thing position that I'd have, you know, kind of mild concerns just based off of health and depth is the tight end spot. You know, we saw not much from the tight ends during the scrimmage just because, for the most part, there's not really any depth there right now. So, you know, you hope that position group can get healthy and that the guys that are showing up on campus, especially Ian Thomas, in this upcoming recruiting class, that they can step in and be good depth pieces, because that's the one area of the offense where it doesn't look like they have a lot of proven depth right now.
Yeah, and to go back to your running back thing, the depth that they have and the guys that they trust will allow them not to just throw Kamion back into the fire. They could ease his way back in, maybe give him 10, you know, start 10 carries, 15 carries, then get up to 20 and really start breaking them in. I really like how they're starting to use guys at multiple positions. And the goal is you're going to see a different speed on offense. You're going to see now that they don't have to substitute, which means the defense can't substitute. And this offense should be getting going really quickly. As far as the tight ends, I do like the group. You know, they took a hit with Austin Doris going down with an arm injury. Or elbow injury, arm injury, we'll call it an arm injury. And that really hurt depth. But Danny Friend is a quality tight end. They really missed him last year. And Jordan Fuchs is coming back from injury issues as well, who's, you know, he could be moved around as well. And he's a guy that should give defenses headaches as well. You know, Ryan Watercutter is impressed this spring. He brings a linebacker mentality to tight end and gives them a little depth. And he's made some impressive catches in the scrimmages. He had, I believe he had a long catch in the spring game as well. So it'd be nice to see him in there in an emergency situation Or when you want to go a big set, you could always put Brandon Knight back at tight end. And you know, before we wrap up, TJ, that was one of the things I'd like to see was these young guys on the offensive line got to play together. With Dan Feeney being out and Jacob Bailey being held out, you saw these young guys, Hunter Littlejohn, Simon Stepaniak, Brandon Knight, and you saw all these young guys step up and play. And, you know, as deep as they are at running back, as deep as they are as receiver, this offensive line might be the deepest position they have. I know that you'd lose Jason Spriggs, but you got to be confident in this offensive line going into next year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a group that I think that we do a nice job of emphasizing how important we think the offensive line play is. And the coaches clearly feel the same way. They emphasize it in recruiting. They emphasize it in development. Greg Pry is as good as it gets as an offensive line coach. And it's a really, really good group. Obviously, you don't want to see injuries, but if they do have a couple, you're not going to panic about having to slide in the guys that are behind the first teamers. I don't really have any concerns about the offensive line unless you get, you know, serious injury attrition, which, you know, we're not going to project that because who wants to project that kind of thing? That's no fun.
Nope. Well, TJ, we are out of time. Thanks for hopping on with me today. Always good to talk spring football. We should have our 100-day countdown starting here in about a month. And, you know, we'll do like last year and have all the players profiled. So we'll go through the roster that way. We'll also have our throwback series, you know, looking back at games from last year. And we'll have our preview series, you know, our early preview series going over the teams that IU will be facing this year. Well, thank you, TJ. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Have a good week, everybody.
Well, that does it for the Hoosier Huddle Spring Wrap-Up Podcast. We will be coming back at you soon, hopefully sometime over the summer to talk summer updates. Be sure to come back to HoosierHuddle.com often. Follow us at Hoosier_Huddle on Twitter. We are on Facebook as well. If you are buying books or anything for your summer barbecues or summer classes, do use the link to Amazon on our site. If you go on the desktop, it will be on the right side there. If you are using a mobile device, I believe it is at the bottom of the page. Help support what we do. Every little bit helps. But thank you guys for sticking with us through the spring. Summer is fast approaching, and fall camp will be here before you know it. So enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, and we'll talk soon.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.